Thank you. Thanks for like reaching out to do this, 'cause I number one, you know me, I don't like to talk, surprisingly. It's really strange that all my jobs are requiring me to talk. And then I started a podcast, so you know
I love
it's
it. Thank you for
really,
having me.
yeah, I'm really excited about this conversation. I reached out to my Facebook group, my Facebook friends, and said, "Hey, would any of my friends like to be on my podcast?" And I got some cool responses and some great ideas. So I would like to welcome my friend Amanda to the podcast today. Yes. So, you know, we went back and forth with text messages and emails about a few things that we could talk about. And, you know, the topic of mental health and grief and all the things related to anxiety, it all came up, you know, in our text messages about what we could talk about today. And that fits very well into my the mental health portion of my podcast. I majored in psychology in college, which is
I didn't
actually,
know that. That's really interesting.
So, and you and I met at college a few years ago. we have some mutual friends that you were, I believe you're in the same sorority as
Paula.
Paula and Corey. Yeah. Corey, I've known Corey since we were 14,
Love Corey.
since
She's
high
hilarious.
school. Yeah. And then our friend Paula, her family, I was friends with her sister first. We were in the same dorm building when we were at Stockton. And then when I went to my master's program at Monmouth, I stayed with Melissa and Paula's parents for the
Oh,
2 years.
that's amazing.
Yeah, I stayed with them for 3 days a week for the 2 years I was in my master's program.
Wow.
And the funniest part to me was that neither Melissa or Paula lived there at the time. So I was living at the house with their parents and their younger brother.
You were their son. They
I
took
was, I
you,
was exactly, yes, I was their new child. So it
yes.
was, so it was really funny. How that happened. I was talking to Melissa about the school, and they had recently taken away the graduate housing, for the graduate students. And she said, "Well, you live like 2 hours from there. Like, you can't do that 3 days a week." And I was like, "Yeah, it's going to be rough, but you know, I have to do it. It's not a problem." And she said, "I'll call you right back." And she called me back. She said, "My mom said you're staying at our house."
I love that.
I was like, "Melissa, you don't live there anymore." Like, I talked to my mom. She said you're living at our house. I was like, "Okay, I'll do it."
Amazing.
So, yeah. So it just, you know, I said all of that to say, you know, you and I, we've known each other a few years, and you know, surprisingly, like we live not too far from each other, and you went to high school with some people that I know. Oh gosh, I just forgot his name. Craig Peters. That's who you went to high school with.
Oh yeah, Craig's the best. Yes. You're around good people.
Craig is his family and I, we all go to the same church. So we
Oh, that's amazing. Yep.
And then most recently you created some artwork for me for a friend of mine.
I did. I did.
With the names, the letters with the animals and
For the
things. So
nursery. Yep.
yes, for
I
their
love that.
nursery, and he's three, so
Oh
just
my gosh, time flies. That's amazing.
Dominic is three. But
Wow.
yeah, so we can get into this conversation, and
Sure.
you know, it's really interesting because like I said, I majored in psychology because primarily, I wanted to. My goal, my thought in majoring in psychology was to help other families impacted by disabilities. Because I felt like that was something my family missed out on, the counseling and therapy and just guidance on how to handle the family dynamics that were now all flipped upside down because I was born with a disability. And it just, you know, it throws extra stress on the parents. I have an older sister. You know, and it throws everything off. So, growing up and after, as I became an older teenager, I realized like, yeah, maybe we could have benefited from you know, some therapy. And I realized that through my own going to therapy myself. So, and I'll get into that and when we get into one of the specific questions. Yeah, so I just want to start, you know, talking about anxiety. And that is something that you and I both, you know, we shared briefly that we, you know, deal with anxious moments and things. So when was it for you that you first noticed that you were experiencing symptoms of being anxious, anxiety?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're a part of a club, like you said, that, you know, nobody wants to be a part of. You know, I lost my parents relatively young, you know, my dad first, and then my mom a few years after that. So it wasn't until after my mom passed that I really focused on, you know, this fight or flight response that I would have. It would be big upswings, you know, one minute I would be okay, and the next minute I would just be skyrocketing. So I realized that that wasn't like a healthy response. So I did a little bit more digging and figured out that I was in fact experiencing, you know, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, that type of thing. So after I figured out what it was, then I was able to really focus on how to manage it the best that I could. And also being a new mother, that comes with a whole other plethora of anxious feelings. So, you know, it's been a process for me, but I feel like I'm in a place now where I have control of it. I know what my triggers are. I know, you know, if I'm starting to feel like I'm in a funk, I really try to focus on how I can manage it the best that I can. So that's kind of how it started for me. What about you, Art?
So for me, I lost my father when I was 17, just in 11th grade, this April of my 11th grade year. But for me, the anxiety, honestly, it started way before then. For me, like I've lived with my disability my whole life, and I've had surgeries. I can remember 16 that we have, you know, my mom and I sat down one day and, you know, recalled all of the surgeries that I've had. So, and some of them were actually like multiple surgeries to fix the same issue. So for instance, I had to, I had no control of my bowels and bladder until I was 14. And that was after three surgeries that they went in to try to fix my bladder. So the anxiety all started there with the surgeries and not knowing if something was going to work. And just the fact of being anxious of, you know, the results of the surgery. And, you know, they're very honest with you when you go into surgery that like, oh, you may die.
I know. So, I know. Like, oh, that's great.
Right. Right. And hearing that as a child, it's like, wait, I know, what? I know. What do you mean? You're it's like, well, baby. No, it doesn't happen often, but we have to say it. Like, well, do you? So it's really, you know, it started for me like as a child. Being again, being anxious about surgeries and the outcomes of surgeries, or you know, if they'll work, or if I have to do it again. So that's where I can honestly trace it back to for me. And it's so funny and interesting. I guess it's really, I guess it's like the, you know, the fight or flight thing that you referenced. And also just the effect of trying to survive and get through life, of blocking things out. So until I started creating these questions, I was like, wow, when did it start for me? You know, for this episode at 42 years old, I'm like, wow, like, yeah, I can definitely remember, you know, having that anxiety, that anxious feeling of, you know, going into surgery. And then as, you know, life happened, as I said, my dad passing away when I was 17, and just not knowing what the future looked like at that time, you know, for me, you know, so that was a bit rough. And then, you know, you're anxious about, you know, the future of your other loved ones at that time as well. And like, how's everybody going to get through it? And so it's, you know, it's very interesting how things can, you know, follow us. But my dad passed away just 25 years this year, which is really,
oh my goodness,
crazy to think about. Because I don't like to think I'm that old, but
well, you don't look old, Art.
No. But it is. It's really. It's so crazy how time really passes by. You know, but then you think about the 25 years, and again, how I was sharing with you about how you and I have known each other for such a long time, and you know, have stayed connected, and the other people that we know, and how we, you know, have stayed connected through all of these years. And just, I think that's really what has helped me so much, you know, with the anxiety of having the good core group of people that I know I can reach out to, and family and friends who have become family, you know, to help me get through those kinds of things. And so the next part of that question would be, how do your symptoms of anxiety present themselves? And how are you able to manage that?
Oh, well, I would say it's really funny. Cleaning. If I just start cleaning the house, I need to put on music. I need to focus something else away from my thoughts. So if my husband hears the vacuum, it's usually not a good thing. If he hears the laundry and dishwasher running simultaneously, he's like, okay, I'm going to tread lightly here. But you know, it does help. And I know it's so funny. People say like rage cleaning, right? But it's, it does help you kind of focus your energy into something else. So if I'm cleaning, or, you know, unfortunately, you know, you could be triggered by everyday things. Like I could smell an aftershave and it smells like my dad, or, you know, I'll hear somebody's voice and it sounds eerily like my mom. So it's just, there are little things that might trigger me, and then I'll sit in the car and be like, ugh, like, you know, it's almost like this, this rush of adrenaline, but not a good kind. It's almost like, okay, I have to kind of hone in and figure out like, how am I going to relax? What can I do? But lately, you know, the last few years, I've really gotten into meditation, yoga. Most recently I started, you know, exercise, which has been amazing, because I'm just too tired to focus between the endorphins and being tired. And exercise for me really has changed my mindset. So if I do start to feel triggered, and unfortunately it does stem back, you know, to my parents passing away, that's a big one for me. So, but what about you, Art? Like what triggers yours?
It's so interesting. As I said, it's 25 years since my dad passed away. And actually the first episode of this current podcast season, I, or it wasn't the first, might've been the second, I posted about grief, and talking about grief. And for me, it's the strangest thing. Red Tail Hawks were my dad's favorite. Like he would always mention, you know, he would see one in a tree and he would see one flying and tell us, you know, look, it's a red tail hawk. So every time I see one, it reminds me of him. Normally I can go about my day. I see one, I say, hey, you know, keep it moving. I was walking out of my apartment and there was a red tail hawk on my sidewalk, looking at my, looking at my door. So I won't say it exactly how I said it on the podcast, but I'll tell you later.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I was like, I don't need any up close and personal signs. Like, go away. Like, what are you doing?
I think that's beautiful though. I think that's amazing.
It was beautiful. And then it was the similar thing to what you were just saying, where it was just for some reason, 25 years later, it hit me like a bag of bricks. And I was just like, why? Like, how is this happening? Why is this happening? You know, so I'm grateful for those, again, those people in my life who are able to provide that comfort and like, don't ask questions. I'm coming over, or, hey, do you want to go get lunch or dinner or a drink? And they're like, sure. We don't have to talk about it. You know, and it just makes everything better. Everybody knows I love music. So music is always a great comfort for me whenever I, you know, whenever I'm feeling a bit anxious or stressed out about anything in life. You know, I'll play it on my speakers here. I'll go see a live concert. I just went to a concert last night.
Oh, you did? That's
amazing. Yeah. So I went to see Daly. He's a, he's from England, I believe. And he's a, like an R&B style type of music. So like music, live music, but just music in general, also meditation, as you said. I was always, into, I was always able, I should say, I was always able to calm myself, because going back to the surgery conversation, just being in pain from, recovering and things like that, I was always able to somehow, even as a child, to just say like, okay, let's focus, let's, calm down and, pull it all together. And it, I've realized at an early age that really did help. And then my favorite thing to do is the float therapy.
I haven't tried that.
Oh, I need
to do that.
Yes, you do.
Is it like a saltwater?
It's a saltwater. The place that I go to, it's a pool. So you're in a, you're in a huge room that's like, you're in a pool, not a tub, not one of the capsules that closes over your head. So it's not claustrophobic. And then you have the option to turn off the lights, and there's also like meditation music that plays.
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
Yes. So you can leave. You should
definitely try
I will send you that information.
Yes, please.
But we have it's right in Marlton too, on Route 70. So not far. But float therapy.
We'll do an anxiety date.
yes. Yeah, float therapy has been so helpful for me as far as the anxiety, also like the aches and pains that my body feels every day. And that, it's been very helpful. It got, with everything that shut down in 2020. So I got out of the habit of going all the time. So I've tried, I've only been, this is like February that we're recording this. I only went once this year so far. But I was going like once a month. Before 2020. So I definitely want to get back into that. And that's, so that's really what I, try to do. And like I said, when I can't get to float therapy, I'll put on some music and headphones and just drift away.
Well, and I think that's really important that people figure out, what they can do to help manage that stressor. And from the outside, people see you and I, and we're upbeat and we're really light and we're positive, caring individuals. So, they don't realize the work, the spiritual work that we really had to put in for years to get to that point. And I feel like, unfortunately, even though we were dealt some circumstances that weren't great, we're able to help other people. Like you said, you were able to help other people with individual disabilities and manage those anxieties. And, I've had friends that have lost parents, so I've been able to help them kind of cope and how to figure out best ways to manage those triggers. So, as awful as it is, we're really special, it's like you're, and you in particular, it's just the work that you've done, with Jake's Place and creating those spaces for children. And, you've always been such a light, and I feel like that's so important. So people that don't know you, they wouldn't know those anxieties and those stressors that you feel, because you project such a lightness about you. So I feel you've really, your dad would be so proud to see, the work that you've done. I know, but
Amanda,
it's so true.
We're not doing this, Amanda.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's so true, because, there are people put on this earth, unfortunately, they're dealt certain hands, but it's how you manage that and how you cope. And I feel like you've done such wonderful things within your community and yourself and, your mom, and I'm getting chills just talking about this, but it's so important that you know that you matter and you make such a big difference. And even though you do deal with those anxieties and stresses, people view you as a light. So that's what I try to remember for myself. I try to remember like, hey, people see me as upbeat and positive, and, I'm not always going to be that every day, but if I can help people and help them figure out how to manage that anxiety or grief or stress, then I'm doing a good job. So, and you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate that a lot. It's really, It's not easy. And as you said, I've noticed now, I'm 42, but now I've had a few friends who are now losing their parents. And it's just like, and like you said, they'll come to me for advice. It's like, what do we, like, how do I do this? What do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. I can tell you what I did, but then like I said, a month or so ago, this whole Red Tail Hawk situation happened, and it was like grief all over again.
And it sent you
Like,
into a tailspin,
right,
no
like
pun
a,
intended. A red tailspin.
And
I know.
it was like a weird feeling that I hadn't felt in so long. I was like, what the hell is this? What? Why do I feel this? I don't like it. I don't know
I
what it
know.
is, but
It's a yucky, it's like an ick,
it
and you can't
is.
quite figure out how to get rid of it. It's like, I don't know. This did happen to me recently though. Like I smelled my dad's aftershave and I literally stopped and I was like looking around and I was like, where did that come from? And I had to, continue on and act like I wasn't internally freaking out, because I'm in a public place. So I'm like, I think that's in Costco. And I'm like looking around by the rotisserie chicken. I'm like, I'm trying not to spiral by this chicken here. So I need to get my head right and get to an aisle. Not around a lot of people. So it happens, and it happens in like the most random places. So the fact that, you were able to call Corey's dad and, spend time with somebody that, felt like home to you is so important. So.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's one of those things where, grief is different for everybody, and it shows up in different ways in different times, and it's the you never get over it. You just figure out different ways to navigate through it when it happens.
Yeah.
So that's the
I feel
big
like, oh, I'm sorry. The best
no.
way I can describe it is that there's life before and life after, because it's never the
Yes.
same. If you, so when you try to explain to somebody the anxiety of feeling after losing a parent, it's you almost can't articulate it because it's, you're from their source, like the source of them, So it's like a part of you is almost gone, not in the literal sense, but I just feel like, to lose such a monumental person in your life, it would almost be strange not to have triggers or anxiety after that, because it's such a big monumental change. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you had again, we talked about this conversation, and you had two questions that you came up with which I really thought they were really great questions. We actually we kind of talked about it a little bit, which was the first one was, what are some calming exercises you do to relax
Yes,
from being
those are
anxious? And
both
that was
questions for you. I'm being a bad reporter. Hold on.
yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Art. Go ahead. Yes.
And then the other one is, what would someone not know about you that causes you to become anxious?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll answer that question. And again, it's so surprising to me that all of the jobs that I do require me to talk.
I know. I think that's
Yeah,
so funny.
it's
And
so
you're an
funny.
outgoing person too.
I am, but I am so okay with like being the quiet one in the room.
I know.
And public speaking like makes me anxious.
Well, that's everybody though. That's nobody likes talking in front of big groups of people. I don't care who you are. That is never easy for anybody. So if it is, they're fibbing.
It's funny. We'll have like the Jake's Place events, and my friends and family will be there, and they're like, "Who are you when you get on stage in front of a microphone?" I was like, "It's my job.
You're
I have to do
right. It
it."
is
Like,
your job, but it's
it's
still crazy. You probably afterwards, you're probably like, whoo,
right. Like,
whoo,
I'm
I have to take a
exhausted.
breath.
Like, right. It's funny. We
Hard, I know.
went to an event a couple weeks ago, and it was a lot of people were there, and it was funny because people were like, "Oh, well, have you been out the house?" I said, "No, since that event, I've been in my house for a whole week." I was like, "I'm totally fine. I had food delivered." I said, people have come over. I said, I needed a break from people.
I get it. The people were peopling. I understand.
Yeah. I just needed a break from people. And they were like, well, yep. Has anybody come to visit? I was like, yeah, like two people, because they called and said they wanted to come over.
No, but that quiet time is really important too.
And I'm okay with it.
Especially with like anxious events or things like that. Like, I feel like I have to almost recharge. Yes. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I love my husband and I love my son and I love my dog, but sometimes you just need that time away. So back to the chill. Meditating. That's mm-hmm. so huge. I do that like before sleep, or when I'm waking up, just to kind of get my head right for the day or before I go to sleep. So I totally understand you needing that time alone, because I feel like as we're getting older, I just feel like dealing with people less, as much as I love friends and family, right. Like I'm people. Happy just being home with a good book and mm-hmm. coffee and good music. And like, that's it for me. So we could do that. Like we can hang, you have your book, I have my book. And we kind of just like exist, but sit in like a meditative silence. I'm good with that.
Right.
That could be our friend date.
Yes, absolutely.
I did have a question that I just thought of, because you were bringing up COVID. Mm-hmm. How would you say your anxiety has been post pandemic? Like, do you feel like you're finally like out of it? Do you still feel kind of, there are moments where you feel anxious? Because I know for me, like there are certain places that I still won't go. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious, like how it has been for you, you know, with this new world that we're in, essentially.
Yeah. So for me, which is, it's so funny. I still go to concerts, which is probably the craziest thing you could do.
Concerts are amazing. I just mean like our minds, like everything changed. Like
it did.
Our worlds were rocked.
Yes.
You know? So I was just curious, like how you deal with, you know, anxious situations in like a post-pandemic world, you know?
My thing that I'm still anxious about is getting on an airplane.
Because
so many people I know who go on trips and take airplanes, they come back and say, oh, I have COVID.
I know.
It's so many people. I've been, where have I been? I just went to Nashville. Nashville and it was like, okay, yeah, we could fly there, but I'm like, it's only a 12-hour drive. I'm driving. I'm not getting on an airplane.
Oh my gosh. No, I get it.
And my mom is like she's like, all right, I guess we're driving.
Did she go with you to Nashville?
She did. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. Your mom's so cool.
So I'm like, okay. And I'll drive. I drove the whole way there, the whole way back. Mm-hmm. I was like, all you just do is relax. Like, since this is my this is my anxious feeling about not getting on an airplane, but that's like my one thing that I'm like still unsure about, only because, like I said, I've heard time and time again, even up into, the holiday time. And I know mm-hmm. germs are all over the place at all times, but everything seems to spike around the holiday times because everybody gets together in houses mm-hmm. and things. So I'm just like, it just seems like it circulates, germs circulate a lot on airplanes. So I'm like, and it's always been that way, I'm sure.
Airplanes have always been kind of gross. So I feel like I thought they were gross before COVID. Right.
Yes,
and now after, I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to, but I'm going to do it.
Right.
Unless
I really have to.
Yeah. It's just not my jam if I don't have to, but I will. Yeah. Right. I'm trying to think of what's been like triggering for me. I mean, I feel like I'm definitely home a lot more now. Like before the pandemic, with anxiety, like I was dealing with like grief triggers and things like that. But then when the world shut down, that mm-hmm. was like a whole other level of anxiety, but I swear, like therapy, yoga, meditation, it's so good for you. And I think mm-hmm. you brought up therapy, and I think a lot of people are scared to open up to somebody about you know, personal circumstances that have happened, but it's almost better to talk to somebody that doesn't know your story and
yes.
can kind of offer this unbiased opinion, because, you know, yes. you can talk to your, you know, friends and family or spouse or whoever, but this is somebody that's professionally trained to just listen mm-hmm. and give guidance on how to improve your well-being. And I think that's huge. And that took me a long time mm-hmm. To be comfortable with therapy. It wasn't until after my mom passed that I seeked out like grief counseling and things like that. So, you know, my yeah. message to anyone that's dealing with anxiety is, you know, definitely look into therapy or some form of mental, physical exercise. It's huge. It really, really helps a lot.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought the therapy conversation back around, because I totally forgot where I was going with that when I first brought it up. I totally forgot to bring it up again. But when my dad had passed away, it was a lot. You know, I was getting ready for my senior year of high school. You know, it was just a lot going on. And then my mom like had started dating, and then she was like engaged, like maybe I think two or three years after that, mm-hmm. you know, so it was like, what? And I was like, my dad died, you know, so going to therapy, you know, therapist was just like, yeah, well, her husband died. And like, what the hell is she supposed to do? Sit around for the rest of her life? And
I it's know, like, yeah, but that's such yeah. a hard thing though.
Like, it was, but like, it goes back to what you were saying, that, you know, you can talk to your family and friends about things, and not all the time, you know, if you have really good friends, they'll tell you like you're being irrational and things like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, you know, your friends will be sensitive with you and like, oh yeah, I get it. And, you know, and like, I needed that wake up call from somebody who didn't know my situation besides from what I was telling him, right. you know, in the therapy sessions, to really call me out on like, hey, like, you know, you get it together. Like, you know, everybody's grieving in their own way. And, you know, mm-hmm. like your mom, my parents were married for 21 years when he had passed away.
Yeah. My parents were married a long time too. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just like, you don't know how that impacts her, but what it came down to for us, and we've talked about it since, mm-hmm. Because she's a parent and that's what parents do.
Yeah.
We never saw my mom cry about things or have a moment. And it was just like, yeah, well, you don't see me when I'm in the shower or in my closet with the door closed, or, you know, at
night. But that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because, it is. You know, you feel like if you show emotion, that's considered a weakness. Mm-hmm. And it's really not. It's actually a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of strength that it takes to be emotional and
to really show that.
So mm-hmm. I think that's
yeah. huge. And it's yeah. really just the, you know, of course, like having that conversation as, you know, when we were all adults, my sister and I and my mom, and just, you know, and she's like, yeah, but, you know, that ride that I had to do to work, like, you didn't see that whole, you know, that whole commute so back and true. Forth. And so it's, you know, seeing some, for me, therapy helped with that, seeing other people's mm-hmm. perspectives of, you know, he wasn't just my dad. He was, you know, he had siblings. He had, I have other siblings. So he was other people's dad and, you know, my mom's husband and, you know, friends mm-hmm. and things, and how everybody is impacted differently. And it can, you know, take a toll on people differently.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, again, therapy, I also would recommend.
Yeah.
You know, it helped me out so much in, you know, what I was dealing with my dad. And then after that, I went, you know, for a few years after that, just to check in every now and again, and just so he can tell me, you know, get it together.
Yeah. No, so. There, you know, so with my dad passing, like, I was so young, and I feel like, I think I was like 25 mm-hmm. when he passed. And you were even younger. So, mm-hmm. I mean, just for me feeling like 25 is so young, you were a baby. Yeah. And I didn't go into grief counseling until after my mom passed. And I think the big thing for me was, I guess, that came out of it, you know, there's always like that, like, moment in therapy where you're like, have that aha moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was kind of like a group setting and everyone's talking about like, you know, what's holding you back, or like, you know, what are you feeling right now? And I was just like, I don't know if I can be a mom if I don't have one. And I kind of just said it and the room just went silent. Like it was just like a pin drop, you know? And I was like, I'm afraid that I won't know how to do it, or I'm afraid I can't call her if I need something, you know? And it was so interesting that I was surrounded by these people that were grieving, and they stepped away from their own grief to comfort me. And they were like, the fact that you're even worried about being a good mother means you are going to be an amazing mother, you know? Right. And like people were stopping me in the parking lot after, saying like, it was so moving. And, you know, and group therapy is great too. Like I was doing like grief counseling in groups, and I've done individual too, but like that moment where I was like so scared, and now that I'm a mom, obviously like there are moments where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I really could use a phone call, like phone a friend to heaven, because I still don't know what I'm doing. And I hate dirty diapers and all that mess. I won't lie to you. But you know, I know I'm a good mom, and I know it's because, you know, I had good parents that instilled in me, you know, to be that. And like you're such a good person because you're surrounded by amazing people. Good so people. It's like all about who you surround yourself with. And I feel like as I'm getting older, you know, I'm cutting out a lot of the unnecessary stuff, like the drama, and just, you know, I'm just at a point in my life where I just want to be happy, you know? And I feel like, you know, dealing with anxiety, you want to eliminate those stressors, right? So you want to eliminate those people that, you know, stress you out, or, you know, a work environment that's not healthy to your mental state, you know? So you just kind of get to a point where you're like, you know, I'm not going to curse on your podcast, obviously.
Oh, have at it. Look, have at it.
Stop giving a, you know what? And you're like, I just want to do stuff that makes me happy, you know? And that comes back to managing anxiety and therapy and all that stuff. And like, people don't want to talk about it because, you know, therapy, anxiety, grief, it's all just like this hush hush topic. But I feel like if more people talked about it, they would heal a lot faster. You know, we were kind of the people that had to deal with years and years of trauma, and we had to help others along the way, which I think is amazing. But if we had just learned early on to just let go and embrace the help, and because I know you, and I know you internalized a lot. And you've come a long, long way. I think it's amazing. But, you know, like this generation, you know, I think it's important to show them that it's okay to grieve and be anxious, and, you know, having podcasts like this where people can talk about it freely and listen. And, you know, I went on a tangent there. I remember, dirty diapers sticking out. Diapers make me anxious, Art.
You know, but it's
potty trained stat.
But it's, but it's also true what you said, though, because, you know, again, for surrounding yourself with good people and eliminating those people who may trigger the anxiety in you in those environments, like you said, the work environments that are not, you know, not healthy for you mentally. It's just really, it's so important to, you know, evaluate all of those things and, you know, get rid of the extra. Get rid of the extra. And just, I think it's, for me, like living with a disability as well, physical disability, it's, you know, like I said, going back to the surgeries, like that brought a lot of anxiety and just life in general of like, you know, growing up, like what job will I have? And it's like, you know, now finding, you know, the jobs that I do have and realizing like, this is what I'm meant to do in life and feeling so positive about those things. And, you know, will I be able to live on my own? I'm going into my eighth year of living in my own place. You know, it's the second place I've lived in now, but it's, you know, it's all working out for me. you know, so those types of anxieties and, you know, going back to what you said as being a mom and, you know the fear and anxiety that my parents had as, of me, you know, living with a disability and if people will treat me right and all those kinds of things. So it's everybody, I think the conversation that we're having is very specific to us, you know, in our situations, but like a lot of things can be like universal for people, and everybody has their own triggers, and everybody has their own, you know, things that make them anxious. And it's like, it happens, it's okay. And, you know, find what works for you. You know, we mentioned music and meditation and exercise for you and the float therapy for me. You know, find what works for you, I think, is the big, you know, the big message that I would like for people to take out of this conversation. And again, I can't say it enough, surround yourself with, you know, good people, and, you know, get that support system. You don't have to go through things alone, I think, is the biggest thing that I, you know, that I had to realize for myself. Like, okay, this disability is happening to me, but again, I have great people in my life who understand it. And, you know, sometimes I want to talk about things, sometimes I don't. And they get that. And it's okay. And it's okay. So that's the, you know, that's the cool thing of having a good support system. So
Like, it's okay to be alone, but that doesn't mean you have to go through everything alone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
so yeah, have your time to yourself, because that's always helpful. Always helpful to recharge and disconnect and recharge yourself. You know, but like you said, don't forget that, you know, you're not always alone. And so, yes, I'm so glad we had this conversation.
Me too. I love, you know, and it's so freeing to talk about it with somebody that understands, you know, because I feel like I said, from the outside, like, people just see us as, you know, upbeat and helpful and positive, but like, that's why I say all the time, like, you don't know what people are dealing with. Like,
you don't,
you know, or just like walking past people on the street, like, you don't know what they're thinking in their head. So that's why it's always so important. And I know you in particular, you're always so kind and considerate of people's feelings, and you're such a good listener. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, this conversation opens up, you know, people's ability to be vulnerable and understand that anxiety is something that can happen, and how you manage it is okay. Like my anxious dog barking downstairs. So, but this has been wonderful, and it's so, I just feel so much lighter after talking to you. You have this effect on people. So thank you for being such a wonderful host, and you know, you're doing such amazing things with your community and this podcast, and, you know, again, your parents are so, so proud of you, and you're such a wonderful soul. And I hope this reaches lots of people so they can see your light and all the goodness that you're doing. So I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm proud of you too. You are like, you're great. And, you know, we have, again, we've known each other, and our paths have crossed in many different spaces. And I remember when you used to work at the mall. And
we've known each other for 20, you said a few years.
I know, I was trying to be kind.
20, two decades I've known you. It's been a long, long time.
And so, I remember when you used to work at the mall, and I would come into the mall, and it was like, you know,
I would be so excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's amazing. You know, I totally, listen, I mean, good friends, even though you don't see them often, you know, you kind of just pick up right where you left off. It's kind of like our conversation. Like, I'm totally comfortable. I'm so happy to see you and see all the good things that you're doing. And, you know, this is just so great that you're doing this. So
thank you for being open to having this conversation. I know it can be, you know, rough sometimes to talk about. So I'm glad that you wanted to discuss it and just talk about it. And again, it goes back to, you know, tying into the theme of the mental health aspect of disability, and how it can happen to everybody, anybody. Our stories are very specific to, you know, to us, and but I don't think there are other people's stories who are similar to ours as well. So
And I'm definitely trying the floating. That I'm definitely doing, because I was like, oh, what a great idea. I need to try that. So
yeah, I'll send that information to you today.
Yes.
And we'll make it happen. But I, again, thank you so much. And we will, I'll be in touch, of course. I'll talk to you.
Just let me know if you want to chat again, something else. let me know. I love this stuff. So
great. Okay. But thanks, and you're welcome. And thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. You bye. Too. Bye.